Today's scripture reading for the sermon is Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
One of the phrases that I've used several times in the last 10 plus days, and I've heard others use it as well, is the new normal. Normal refers to the usual, average, typical state or condition. It conforms to a standard. Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Northern California, truly, we are an area, and more importantly, not only the area, but we the people, have had our normal turned upside down. And so there's this new normal as we get back to work and school, as we do those things we normally do, and in some cases can't do, or they're different now. Our family was able to return to our house just this past Tuesday. A gas company turned on the gas, and we could do laundry, have hot showers. The day before, the electricity came on, and the refrigerator got cleaned out. But nothing was normal about being home. Nothing is normal. We have to show our driver's license and a pass to get into the broader Coffee Park area where we live still. And that's a good thing. We're thankful for it at this point. But it's definitely not normal. When we enter into Coffee Park heading west on Hopper, we make the first left on Banyan, which basically serves as sort of the west perimeter of the fires in that part of our city. And for a few houses on the right, we don't see them anymore. We see ash and chimneys. But then all of a sudden, Banyan has homes on both sides. And as we get to our street in turn, there's homes. So it's sort of normal for us on our street, but it's quiet. And when people are outside, there's a lot more interaction amongst the neighbors than there was weeks ago. Yesterday, we took the kids for a walk. For us, it's 5 minutes, and I looked at Google Maps this morning and punched in the coordinates, 0.2 miles. We kind of had figured that out, Kristen had, but I wanted to see it exactly, and yes, 0.2 miles. And when we get that far away, we are in and around homes that don't exist there anymore. And as we walked a little bit and walked in some of the streets that we would walk as a family and where I would jog sometimes and where we'd ride bikes, it's hard to know where we are. They had to paint on the street the names of the streets because some signs are gone, some cases they're there, but you're so used to seeing a white fence or this blue boat or those kind of markers, and they're not there. It's not normal anymore. But it's our new normal, and it'll be that for a long time. And it's not just Coffee Park, Fountain Grove and other places in our city, and then heading to the east towards Sonoma. One of the pastors in our denomination, Evie Free, is at Glen Ellen Community Church. A little white church there in Glen Ellen. Had an email from him. They're actually in Southern California because they can't be back in the parsonage. The church is there. The parsonage made it. And two other houses right there on that street. But eight others are gone in that little downtown area of Glen Ellen. And so they were actually up in Northern California. They came home. Sheriff let them in, get a few more things out of the parsonage. Then they went to a hotel in Sonoma. And then as fires kicked up again last week, they had to leave there. So they decided to go be with their family. So their church isn't even meeting again today. And so their normal is definitely gone, and it's going to be new moving forward. That's what we're experiencing. And again, there's degrees of it and in different ways. Maybe it's in your work, different customers, different people you interact with that have been affected or are having to do things. Maybe again, it's school. A bunch of you, I think everyone hasn't been in school that goes to school for now 2 weeks, and for some it's going to be 3 weeks. Before we return to Galatians, we were starting a series in that letter of the Apostle Paul a few weeks ago. Before we get back to that, and we will, and before, Lord willing, we hear from Dwayne and some of the older kids next week. Dwayne is scheduled to preach in here. That'll be good. It'll be good for us and good for them. Before we do those things, I want to talk one more time directly about things related to what we've all experienced. And specifically, I hope this morning to talk about confidence in the midst of our new normal. I hope this morning we can leave, as I prayed, aware of how much God loves us and loving Him, ready to love our neighbors, but filled with confidence in the midst of the new normal. And it's my firm conviction out of the psalm that Leanne read to us just a few moments ago, that as we are in this new normal and face it each day, and as that newness changes and so forth, we really can have confidence in the midst of it because of who God is. Because of who God is. And that comes to us from Psalm 121. So if you have a Bible, can you open to that chapter or swipe to it? If you need a Bible, we have them under the seats on the edges and up the middle. Psalm 121. And let's spend a few minutes this morning considering what this psalm says about confidence in the midst of the new normal. Psalm 121, just to give you a little sense of bearings, is part of 15 other psalms, chapters in the Psalter that are known as psalms or songs. These, remember, are Hebrew poetry. They were written to be sung, and so it's very poetical. We sometimes don't pick that up in English, but definitely in the Hebrew it's there. So this is one of 15 that are known as the psalms or songs of ascent. And the idea was this group were all about those that were pilgrims coming to Jerusalem to worship. So they all speak regarding various themes related to a pilgrim, an individual, or a group that would be making their way to Jerusalem to meet with God and to worship God. And it seems that this Psalm 121 in particular was given to give confidence to those pilgrims. Dr. Godfrey, who I already mentioned, who's lecturing tonight in Novato, he notes this about this psalm. In Old Testament times, the journey was a real trip over difficult terrain to a physical city. That's what they were literally doing and what this psalm, this song is about. For Christians now, for us, there is still a journey, life. The Apostle Paul's metaphor is the walk, right? There is still a journey, and we are still pilgrims. And just as this psalm was for those making a physical journey over terrain to Jerusalem to meet with God and to give them confidence, this psalm is just as much for us. And we don't need to allegorize it. We don't need to say, well, what are the spiritual hills and trials? I mean, there is that level of stuff in life, but life has trials, be it fires, be it sickness in family, be it trouble at work, be it difficulty in school, be it any number of things. We need confidence. And this psalm is written for that purpose, and there's a word for us in it, I hope and believe there is. A confidence for us in the midst of our new normal. So verse 1 of this short 8-verse psalm begins, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The psalmist asks. Now, it's interesting. I've heard this before, and I read it a bunch this week. Scholars aren't sure if this pilgrim has already arrived in Jerusalem, in which case, when they say, I lift my eyes to the hills, they would be looking from Jerusalem up to hills that surround the city, and in that case, they act as protection. They would be a fortification for those in there. And so that may be the case. The pilgrim has made it. I lift my eyes to the hills and sort of with confidence, where does my help come from? Is it in this or is it going to be what verse 2 says? That's one possibility. It's also very likely that the pilgrim hasn't arrived yet and is looking to the hills ahead of them, either those hills just before Jerusalem or somewhere else, hills that are filled with animals and other people that might not want them to pass through, and any number of difficult things, real dangers. So as this pilgrim is coming, and he says, maybe with a sense of fear, I look to the hills, I lift my eyes, I see danger. Where does my help come? So we aren't exactly sure. Flip a coin and pick one, or we can know that the Lord knows, and really the answer is going to get in verse 2. Either way we go. We were staying in Sebastopol with my in-laws, and we were able to look northwest to the hills. And we could see on Sunday night, 2 weeks ago, and then several nights, the glow of fire to the north. And we could look towards Roner Park, Taylor Mountain, I guess, and see glow. And we could look and see smoke. And you all probably had moments like that too, maybe much more directly. I drove yesterday north on the freeway. For the first time, I wanted to see what used to be the round barn. It's gone. My grandmother was an artist, and she painted the round barn. We have that painting that came to us. I'm glad to remember that. And the Hilton is gone. That hill, stuff that used to be, is no longer there. So we are going to have that new normal, and we're going to look to the hills around us, literally. And there's danger. There was danger, and so on. It definitely, in either situation that I described for this psalmist, it's definitely not Sound of Music hills. Okay, that's not this nice, I look to the hills and there's lush green and a girl singing kind of scene. That's definitely not, either way. It's not romanticized hills. It is either a dangerous hill crossing terrain or a protection. And yet, the psalmist knows something, and they're about to tell us something as they ask this question, where is our help? And it's going to come in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Whether or not this pilgrim was trying to get in and didn't know how they'd get through the dangerous terrain, or if they're in Jerusalem looking back at the fortification, as they look to the hills, whichever it may be, as we look to our hills and our city, as we look to anything we're facing, this new normal and the challenges our family members and friends are going to have, for God's people, help isn't in fortification. It isn't in insurance. It isn't in even first responders. And believe me, they're helpful. Yes, I'm thankful you are for all of those. I love seeing the banners as I drive on the freeway south. Thank you. And I love going into the coffee shops and there's signs up, all of that. I love saying to my own nephew who's Santa Rosa Police, thank you for what you did on that first night. And to all of that, yes. And there's National Guard posted outside our area, and to say thank you to them too. So we're thankful to God for them, and God uses them, but ultimately our help isn't in any of that. Our help, our hope comes from the Lord. Because every good and perfect gift, as James says, is from Him anyhow, but it's from Him, and He is the one who made heaven and earth. And this is so important. God is the Creator. And what the psalmist wants us to know, I believe this because it's not only here in Psalm 121, but just a few chapters later, Psalm 124, verse 8, there, David says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So it's an important idea that God, who is our help, He's the creator. He's the one that has this kind of power that he can make a planet, He can make a people, He can make a universe, He can do all this. And the biblical authors speak of this idea over and over to remind us and to impress upon us how omnipotent, how all-powerful God is. So Genesis 2:4 says, These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Or Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Again, God did it. God creates. Or Isaiah 37:16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherub, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Or Psalm 115:15. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. See that connection? God's power, God's help, God's blessing. It's from God, and there's this tag, who made heaven and earth. Who's that powerful? Psalm 134:3. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Or finally, Jeremiah 32:17, just to give you 6 examples. Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. And then listen to these 6 words in English. Nothing is too hard for you. Because God can make and creates the earth and the heavens, nothing is too hard for him. So back to Psalm 121. Our help from the hills, the dangers, or from the things that are there to protect and we're blessed by, ultimately our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Ultimate, ultimate help. So we're sort of forced immediately to say, do I buy that? Do I believe that? It's not as simple as a Sunday school answer in the midst of all of that we've gone through. And so again, it just, as an aside, it's important for us to hear from God all the time, but especially in the midst of these kinds of new normal situations and life circumstances, to see for the psalmist, his help comes from the Lord. And you that have spent time in the Psalms, you know not all of them are this hopeful. There's plenty of Psalms where the writers are screaming with fists at God because of things, asking why, God, where were you? What's going on? When will you? So the Bible understands, God understands all that we go through. But there's confidence in the new normal. Because God is the same God, yesterday, today, forever. And we need this confidence. And if you have this confidence, awesome. If you're struggling to believe this confidence, I want to ask you to take God at his word. And if you want to pray afterwards with me and you're struggling, there's no shame in that. Let's bear each other's burdens and let's go to the Lord. But do you know this help? Do you know this hope that comes from him being our help? The final verses, it's verses 3-8, the remaining 6 verses, they're dominated by a word. I don't know if you heard it, if your ear caught it, maybe you could sort of see it with the light shining there on the screen. It's the word keep. 6 times that word is there. And what does keep mean? Well, it means to guard, to watch over, to attend to carefully, to protect. God is a God who in his character is all about guarding, keeping, protecting, and it's not passive. It's very active. In these remaining verses, we see that, we hear that. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So first we have this individual, personalized. God keeps you, the individual, and he's not slumbering and sleeping. And then, behold, this reminder that the corporate, God's corporate people, then Israel, now his church, God keeps, he protects, he holds us fast, like we sang. He does not sleep or slumber. I love to sleep and slumber. It's been hard to do that. Well, lately, but God doesn't. Again, I was thinking about this even just this morning. This word keep, I said it means to guard. We have national guard. Guarding our neighborhood. Making sure that only people that should be in are there. But you know what? They do sleep and slumber. Now, not the people on duty, but they have shifts. Because even they, the National Guard, need breaks. And others have to come in and relieve them. But not our God. Not the God who made heaven and earth. He doesn't need an afternoon nap. He doesn't need to get to bed, you know, at a certain time. When we lay down and try to sleep and slumber, and in God's sovereignty, He's ordained that we have that. We can't function on no sleep for too long. Well, God doesn't. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He keeps His people. He protects. He guards. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He's the shade on your right hand. The sun, verse 6, shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Again, this is poetry. This is a song speaking of the dangers of nighttime, the dangers of the daytime. God keeps His people. In verses 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The psalmist didn't have some weird delusion that he would never die. So to say he keeps your life, he wasn't, again, thinking that his physical body would just go on. There's a sense for this writer here and for God's people that life is more than this and more than the years we get here. There's eternal life for God's people. So that even if this doesn't make it, if a person has repented and turned and been saved and is a child of God, they don't die. They will know eternal life. So the psalmist can sing this, the psalmist can write this, that God, the Lord, is our keeper. He keeps our life. We are in His hands. Our life is in His hands. He knows our days. They're numbered. But He keeps His people for His purposes. This is our God, Soma. This is our God who wants us to have confidence, us first, right now, to know that our help comes from Him as we're struggling to understand, as we're struggling to talk to people, as we're struggling just with all of what we've been through and whatever else may come. Lord, we pray it's nothing like this again around here. Right in our area, there's this ministry, Mercy Chefs. I talked about it last week, and several of you, as I've been told and have seen and talked with, have served and worked. What an amazing ministry. They come in and they're set up right now at Christian Family Fellowship. But they make these meals, and they're good meals. We've been blessed this whole last week with these meals. But they're going to be heading out in a couple days. And someone, Dan, did you know where they're going to next? Puerto Rico. So yeah. I mean, that's what they do. And they came from? Okay, so they were in Florida helping, providing meals, and they drove across the country to be here and to serve. And when they're done, they'll be heading overseas or so to Puerto Rico. Amazing. Because it's not just our part of this planet that's suffering. It is right now. And we need to know this confidence in the new normal. We need this help that God provides. It's from Him. He keeps us. He protects, guards, ensures, and He gives other protections and so on too. But other things will happen. And so for us to trust in this God and to grow in our trust and be prepared for what life will bring, whether it's as big and horrible as this, and again, we pray never, and we don't want it, or again, the scaled other types of trials, God is still our help. He's our keeper. He's our guard, our protection. This is the confidence we have as children of God in the midst of the new normal. So we can weep with those who weep because we're being comforted by God as our keeper and our help. We can weep, we can be angry over loss, we can be speechless and just give hugs. We can help because God is our help. Our help comes from Him. That's the confidence He gives. It's who He is. It's in His character. I've had several meetings each week with other pastors and trying to keep us up on what's going on from FEMA and those folks coming in and all of that stuff that is necessary and other things. And one of the meetings I had was just a group of us pastors saying, let's just brainstorm together what kinds of things we want to be able to say to our kids, our family, to our churches. And one of the first things, Pastor Art Senna from Living Roots, good man, good friend, said was, I keep reminding my kids about the character of God. And in this, there's questions, yes, and things, but God is good. God is faithful. God is holy and just and righteous and sovereign. And he keeps reminding his kids of that. And I love that. It's a good reminder for me. And in this psalm, church, we see the character of God. He is that faithful God who keeps his people, who is there, who's helping, who's not slumbering and sleeping and missing things. He's there. And that's confidence for us. And ultimately, the help that this psalmist knew from God, it points forward to the help that came in the form of Jesus. Ultimately, Jesus came to rescue and save from the worst disaster, which is being separated from God because of sin. He came to live the life we can't live, to fulfill all righteousness, and then to die in our place, to take God's wrath for sin so that we wouldn't have to, so that his righteousness, when we believe in him, could be transferred to us. And so God now, when he looks at Christians, he's looking through Christ first and seeing that, the amazing grace of the gospel. That is the ultimate help, the ultimate keeping of our life that we know. So as we read this, it's not just help from the mountains. It's not just help in the midst of the new normal, confidence to cope here. It's that eternal confidence. And again, as I've been reminding us here and there, 2 Corinthians 1, God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And I'm praying daily for myself, my family, for us, that we would offer those comforting, hopeful words to people that need them. And this is a long-term thing. We know that, but we have to be in it for the long haul. We have a city, a community that's going to need these comforting truths delivered in comforting ways for the long haul. This morning I was at a Starbucks way over that way, which is not usually where I am on Sunday morning because the one I usually go to isn't open yet. But the one I was at, the manager from the one I normally go to came in and I talked to her. And she said, hopefully this week, midweek, it'll reopen. And she said, we're all anxious to get back in there and see our normal customers. And I said, I am too, because there's relationships there. There's now conversations that I hope that are at a certain level will much more naturally go to a deeper level. But it's not just about it naturally happening. We need to be ready to offer that eternal hope that comes through Christ in comforting, helpful ways. But we have to offer that as we give the physical help and things like that now. Thank you for all of you that have helped our own church. Everyone at Soma is back in their home. As of yesterday, the Failers were the last to be able to get back to their home, and they're in, and so that's a good thing. We're glad that they are. It's been fun to see how our church has asked, what can we do, where can we go, how can we help? So let's keep doing that, but just know we need to be in it for the long haul, and we're poising ourselves to be prepared for that long haul. I want to conclude this morning by directing us to Isaiah We're going to take communion here in just a moment and celebrate the Lord's Supper. In fact, as I say that, I realize I didn't ask two people to pass the elements. So I'm just going to hope when I am ready, at least two of you will rise. Stuff's over there. Others' elements are over there. And there's enough of you to make that happen. And there's elements upstairs for those sitting up there. Isaiah 53. The famous chapter speaking of the one who would be pierced for our transgressions. So as a church, these verses have been part of our fighter verses the last 2 weeks. So I've been looking at that. Isaiah 53, I'll start at verse 4. Surely he who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 5 there in the middle. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are helped. We by his wounds, by his death in our place, his body nailed to the cross, his blood poured out, that has brought us peace with him. And so the church gathers, and we do it this morning, to remember that God in space-time history dealt with our problem through his son Jesus. But he didn't stay dead. Of course, he rose, and it was as if God, as Tim Keller likes to say, put across Jesus' acts, paid in full. This thing is done. It is finished, as Jesus said from the cross. And the resurrection acknowledges that what Jesus did in his life and death, it is finished, it is done, paid in full. So we remember that the ultimate crisis we face as people because of our sin is that separation from God, and yet it's finished, it's dealt with. So we celebrate, we remember. It's a time to think and ask the Spirit to bring to mind any other sins that are there that we need to deal with to be right with God. It's a time to make amends here. If there's conversations that need to happen, we encourage you to do that. And it's a time to look forward, that the help that comes from the Lord, that he will come back to, and the new heaven and the new earth will come, and one day there will be no more fire devastating cities and counties and regions. There won't be floods. There won't be other things like that. All of that stuff will be done because he's coming back. So, and he said, I will eat this meal that I'm instituting and giving not until I return. And so we take it, and so it's remembering he's coming. And that's the context of this. So please pray with me. Two of you, please help serve. And we'll pass the bread first. Everyone grab a piece, hang on to it. We'll take and eat of it together. And then we'll pass the cups, and we'll hold on to them, and we'll drink the meal together. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are our keeper, and you don't slumber or sleep. You watch us, you keep our life, you keep us from harm, ultimate harm, and ultimately that was done through Jesus. And so as we now prepare, search our hearts, if there's stuff, sin that we must confess, bring it to mind so we can do that. If there's a conversation we need to have, maybe right now, maybe it's later today, impress that upon us. May we respond in obedience. But we remember the Lord Jesus, who on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it and gave it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he passed the cup. He offered the cup and said, this now represents the new covenant in my blood. this you drink in remembrance of me. And so we remember what the Lord Jesus did, and we remember that he promised he's coming. And we long for that day. In Jesus' name.